Hey, what is going on, everybody out there? This is Jake James Lugo. Welcome to the channel and welcome to a brand new episode of A Definitive Discussion, where I bring on phenomenal individuals from all corners of the internet, YouTube, and the gaming industry, and a whole bunch of different places. And we have deep dives into different various conversations and stuff that you guys want to hear about. If you haven't already, I highly suggest you check out the playlist I have now on the YouTube channel. There is a ton of episodes with a ton of great guests and a whole bunch of great conversations I know you guys are going to love. But also, do not forget, I have the Patreon page. Remember, at the dollar level or higher, you're going to get all that exclusive bonus content, including the EX modes for every single one of these episodes. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of cool guests that I've had on lately, but let me know your guys' feedback in the comment section down below. Like the video, and don't forget to subscribe to the channel. So today, I have a recurring guest, or at least one that I've had you on a couple of my shows over the years and stuff. I have Darkside Phil, DSP, or quote-unquote DSP Gaming on YouTube and stuff, but Phil Burnell. Phil, what's good? I mean, I haven't talked to you in a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. Super duper busy with keeping up everything with my full-time streaming.
Which is cool, and congrats, which is dope. You know, a lot of people out here now on YouTube in general, some of them get into streaming, they're in it for a while, but they're not like, you know, they don't last a long time. And I know I've been a fan, or at least I've followed you for years. I think now almost as long as my career has been in the games industry, which is going close to about 10 years now, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah. All right. My first game coverage uploads to YouTube started actually in late 2008. So, yeah, I've pretty much been doing ongoing game coverage for almost 12 years now. We're getting there.
Yeah, so I'm just under that because I just hit my 10-year mark in the industry as of January. So, and I followed you a little bit after you just started, which I followed a lot of your Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo or Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix videos. That's where I first discovered you. So, and I think also I'm pretty sure I could claim fame to this, that I was your first interview on YouTube. Or at least one that covered like YouTube stuff specifically. Because I remember you and me talking on my old YouTube channel. I'm pretty sure about that, right?
That's very, very likely because we've known each other for quite some time. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Because I know you've been on a couple other shows and stuff, but everybody seems to skip over the couple interviews that we've done and stuff. I'm like, yo, like what the hell? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy. But the reason why I brought you on today, okay, is because we're going to talk about some stuff. And again, we're going to do an EX mode later on for everybody that subs to the Patreon page. So make sure you guys are looking out for that. If you haven't already subbed, make sure that you do. But I want to talk with you about, obviously, we got the pandemic going on, which at the time that we're recording this is at the end of April. And there's been a lot of stuff that's happened. There's even stuff that happened near my house this morning. So it's been absolutely insane. But, you know, what's weird about this is that you've been streaming still. Everybody's at home right now. Everybody's checking out stuff on Twitch. Everybody's checking out stuff on YouTube and such. And you've been putting out content, I think it's every day now, correct?
Yeah, at least 6 days a week full time. Yes.
So tell me, what has that been like for you? Because now, obviously, you've been doing that for a while, even before this pandemic stuff started. What is streaming life like for you right now with everything going on with the pandemic, with the isolation, the lockdown for a lot of people?
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, being that this is my full-time occupation, you know, I don't have another job outside of streaming. It really hasn't changed my lifestyle that much. You know, I was around doing these full-time streams way before the pandemic. You know, this is actually my third anniversary just recently of being a full-time streamer. Before that, I was a full-time YouTuber, and then I transitioned over about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But really, not much has changed in regards to, like, my schedule. But what I've definitely noticed is I have a sharp increase in attendance on my streams. A lot of more people are here live because I also archive my streams over on YouTube on my very long-standing channel, DSP Gaming. So if people can't watch it live, they can always catch it on demand afterward. And what I've noticed is not necessarily a decline of views on the YouTube channel, but an actual spike in attendance on the in-person streams because everyone's stuck at home right now.
When you're live,
so,
right? When you're live.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I do not archive my stuff on Twitch. That's right. When I'm live, more people are watching live now. And also, I mean, if being very honest, an increase in contributions on the streams because I think the feeling that a lot of people now are here, they're in person, they want someone who, number one, has consistency. You know, right now, yeah. The thing that we all have is a really big interruption in all of our lives of how we normally do things. And to have something that's consistent and to have something that's consistently entertaining or positive is a good thing. I always say on my streams, I want to be the place where you guys can come and just kind of hang out and forget about all that craziness going out in the outside world. Unplug from that for a few hours and come hang out with me. I'll be here, you know, 6 days a week. So, you know, you can come hang with me. And hey, that's exactly what people have done. Like I said, you know, more attendance and people just being way more positive recently, I'd say probably in about a straight month now, that I've seen more attendance and more contributions on my streams.
But, which is cool, obviously, for you. You know, a little bit more money, a little bit more donations, which is good. Do you find that a lot of the people now, that spike that you've been getting with the viewership on the Twitch live streams, and I'm pretty sure there's been a little bit of a change on the archives on YouTube as well, is that solely just because of the pandemic, or is it because people are discovering you through various different means because of the pandemic? Like, the difference is here, what I mean is that obviously there's a Twitch community, you know, people share different stuff, you know, some of their favorite streamers or whatever, but now that people are home and there's a lot more people at home that aren't necessarily always around on Twitch and stuff, are those the types of people that are now discovering your content? And I'm curious about this because I find it to be very fluctuating amongst different types of creators, both on Twitch and on YouTube.
Yeah, I would say for gaming is up everywhere, right? Like, anyone who's doing anything related to gaming, since everyone's stuck at home, everyone is into games, video games right now.
True.
So being that I'm a full-time, you know, video game content creator, that's definitely been a big thing. People are coming out to see, gee, who's playing the new game? Oh, here's, you know, let me check out Darkside Phil. And, you know, they're discovering me for the first time. I've had people in the last month say, yeah, I've just kind of stumbled upon your content and this is really cool. So I would definitely say that element. But on the flip side of that, I would also say, I get the feeling it's a lot of people who would only watch on YouTube. Maybe they don't get a chance to catch the live streams because otherwise they would be at work or at school. And now that there's no work or school, obviously they obviously have a chance to watch it live during the daytime as well. So it's a combination factor, I would say. But definitely there's been an influx of new people in the last month, I've noticed.
So with that being said, though, do you find yourself doing things that are a little bit different now that, because, again, things are changed, you know, with everybody's lives, and now everybody's able to have the time or at least have the means to actually be home and look at this type of stuff? And again, looking at your content, looking at a lot of other people's content, because you're not the only streamer that's out there, obviously, on Twitch and on YouTube. People are perusing the internet in different ways. Do you find yourselves doing a little bit different things here and there, whether it's on camera or the types of games that you're playing, in order to kind of like either retain that audience or even to get more of those types of people right now?
Yeah, I would say a few things. First of all, when you know that there's such a negative thing going on in the real life world, you want to try to at least be someone and or be a place where people can not have more negativity, you know? So I've actively tried to stave off any kind of active trolling on my channel. I've had my moderator step it up a page this last month to make sure that we don't get people completely derailing the stream chat, that people can focus on the games. I've tried to actively step out of my comfort zone on being hyper-focused on the game and interact a lot more with the people in the stream chat in a positive way, because I want them to feel engaged and I want them to feel like this is a place you can have fun and escape from, you know, the stress that you have right now in your real life. And it's worked, you know, it's definitely worked. Incidentally, my viewers came up with something very silly in the last month that has been working on a daily basis. It's really silly. So I never usually do any kind of a celebratory thing or a stunt if we hit a goal. I almost never have done that. Like, it would be okay if we hit a goal today, like, you know, it's a milestone for something, that's great, and we say thanks, but then we just move on. But this weird thing happened about a month ago. I was doing a marathon stream. It was what I call a retrospective, where we go back down memory lane and we watch my content from the last, you know, decade plus that I've been making,
kind of like reminisce a little bit, you know, in some way.
Exactly. And it just so happened someone picked a vlog that I had done like 10 years ago, and I was wearing this vest, like this stuffed vest that you would wear like outdoors when it's colder, like in the fall. And they were like, we have never seen you wear that vest before. What the heck is that? And do you still have it? And I was like, I don't know, give me a second. And I went downstairs, I looked at my closet. Lo and behold, I had it in the back of my closet.
That's funny.
untouched. Like, I hadn't worn this thing in like 10 years. And it just sat there dusty. So I brushed it off. I put it on. And people were like, that's hilarious that you have this vest. That's a 10-year-old vest. You never worn it. And here it is. But then people basically said, well, that was a cool thing that happened. That's like a connection with the viewers. If you hit a fundraising goal, like every day on my streams, you know, we have certain things going on, whether it's like a monthly subscribers goal that we try to hit on Twitch, my Twitch channel, or every day I have like a daily tips goal. Gee, can we hit this number of tips today? That would be amazing. And in reality, I almost never do. And I'm very grateful for anything I get, but it's always good to have like a goal that you're striving for.
So
one day we hit the tips goal randomly, and I'm like, that's so good, what would you guys like? And they said, go put on the vest. I was like, okay, that's, you really want me to put on the vest? Right, sure. I put on the vest, and I'm not kidding you, it's now been 51 straight streams where I have hit my tips goal, and I keep putting the vest on
because of this vest. Like, that's kind of funny. Like, It's random.
It's crazy. It's nuts. I never expected it. You know, I didn't think that people were going to care about something silly like that. And, you know, I try to come up with other stuff too. Oh, I'll put on a pair of glasses or I'll put on my hat. And they don't really care about that. They just like, we want the vest.
I remember the hat. Like, I remember the 10-gallon hat you have, like, when you do your, when you do your mailbag videos from a while back over.
That's right.
King of Eight vlogs. I remember that. That's been a thing for like years and stuff like that. I remember. I don't remember this vest though.
It just came out of nowhere. The reason I think it works is because it's something that was completely out of the blue. It's silly. And it was picked by the viewers. I didn't come up with it. The viewers on the fly kind of figured out this was kind of something silly and interesting. And now, like I said, it's been almost a solid month that I've been streaming that this has been happening constantly.
That's cool. At least that's a cool little thing, you know, despite everything else and going alongside with the stream and stuff. Now, I want to know, though, about games, though, specifically. Like, have you been changing up things that, you know, with the types of games that you play? Because I looked at a couple of your VODs, you know, on various different stuff on your channel and also a little bit on the Twitch stream. I mean, I saw you, obviously, you're going back and playing a lot of Street Fighter Anniversary Collection. I saw now you're playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just completed that for review and stuff. I mean, you got a mixture of current and, like, retro stuff. Have you been looking at different types of games to stream or at least to play for people now that the pandemic stuff is going on at the current moment?
Well, the thing right now is for a lot of people like myself who are full-time content creators, the future is very uncertain because we had a lineup of games that were coming out in the next few months that at this point, because of the pandemic, it looks like exactly. We don't know what's going to happen. We know The Last of Us 2 is now
Cyberpunk, indefinite. Big one.
Cyberpunk's been delayed till the fall. Ghost of Tsushima are supposed to be coming out in May, but if Sony already delayed Last of Us, obviously that's the next one to go. So, you know, we don't really know as content creators what we'll be able to play. For me, I kind of lucked out because this is a time when there were a significant amount of new releases. Just in the last month, you had games like Doom Eternal, the Final Fantasy VII Remake, Resident Evil 3 Remake, and those are big, heavy-hitting games that people wanted to see. But I'm a variety streamer. I tell everyone I don't just focus on one game and try to beat it right away. What I try to do is balance my stream. So you come to my stream one day, you're going to see me play a new release. The next day, it's a retro. The next day, it's just like a chill game. And I like that because it gives people variety rather than knowing me just as the guy who does one thing. I don't like to pigeonhole myself into one kind of content. And not to say that there's anything wrong with people who are considered experts at a certain kind of gaming content. That's a whole other, you know, audience and genre than what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely what I've tried to do is mix it up. I don't want to just say, okay, I was just doing new releases, but now because there's no new releases, now we're stuck. What do we do? So that's why I've tried to do variety. And I already have a few games on the docket. For example, the viewers did this big viewer's choice poll, and they determined they wanted to see me play Banjo-Tooie, the sequel to Banjo-Kazooie. I'd never played that one before. And I just started that on Friday. And of course, those games from back in the day, the Nintendo 64 era collection quest games, very big and very long. You know that one's going to be one that's going to be like, you know, 30, 40 hours if I go for all the items and puzzles in the game. So it's funny because I get the feeling some people who do kinds of content that are always reliant on the hot new release or the hot new viral game may have some difficulty with what they're doing. But I'm striving to just do a big variety of stuff so that way, even if the new releases dry up, I still kind of have stuff on the back burner that I can bring into my streams and not run out of content.
So let me ask you this, though, because I think that you bring up an interesting point. Do you think, though, at least for the people that are playing some of the new games now, again, we're talking in the April timeframe, we're going into May and stuff, some of the newer releases are longer games. Final Fantasy VII Remake is a big one. I saw you playing Animal Crossing New Horizons not too long ago. Doom Eternal, I think, is also pretty meaty as well. Some of these games now, luckily for us, are games that are going to be playing for 20-plus hours in some way. Do you feel like at least those types of games are going to balance out, at least, you know, not being able to get some of those bigger games that are going to be coming out later on? Granted, again, in your case, you're playing some older games like Street Fighter, like Banjo-Tooie, etc. But at least with some of these newer games, there are longer games that you're going to be spending time with that will keep people interested and at least allow you to keep pumping out content and stuff. Do you think that balances things out for someone like you?
Absolutely. And you know, not just someone like me, but just the common gamer. You know, right now, everyone's got their purse strings tightened because of what's going on.
Big time.
And if you're looking to see what game you want to buy, are you going to buy a game that's a 5-hour experience or a game that's a 50-hour experience, right? It's actually very fortuitous for us that we have quality media games that have all come out within a very short period of time. And some games, let's play, like you just mentioned, Animal Crossing, that game doesn't have a definitive ending. That's a game that's very relaxed.
Straight up.
That's right. You simulate a community. It's very, very relaxing. You know, you want to stress-free gel, you know, and that's a game that people could be playing for months and months, hey, for a year. The other thing is they've already had content updates with holidays and things.
That's a perfect
kind of game to come. That's right. It's the springtime stuff hitting, and man, did they make out. They are such a high, very high-selling game. Which I think shocked everyone how many, copies of Animal Crossing sold, just because of the kind of game it is right now. I think you've got content creators, you've got, just standard gamers. Everyone is into it, right? Absolutely everyone is like, that's a game that we would want right now because it fills that gap until we get more bigger, higher new releases.
Exactly. And I feel like it works out for you guys because, again, that's a game that could almost never end, but it's like you could play that for such an extended period of time. And even if those games that are big now, like Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, or even Cyberpunk, or even, again, there's a whole bunch of other games that, again, we could just look at the list there, just see like what's coming out at the end of this year. It could tide you over, and you could even just survive on those games as a Twitch streamer, as a content creator, because there's communities that just, of people that care just about those games, which is crazy.
Even if you
decided not to be a variety streamer, you could just live on Animal Crossing, it feels like, because there's just so much things you could do, even just interacting with chat, interacting with other content creators, just creating your stuff so people could just, contribute to the types of the types of things you could do in the game and all these different types of things like that. Again, that's just one example. But what do you feel like, at least right now, being in the pandemic that we are right now, what type of games would you avoid? Because I think it's interesting, like, there's all these different games that we would dive into. What are the types of games that you would avoid, though? Like, for me, I mean, granted, Street Fighter, that's your jam. That's my jam as well. And that's, like, something that the FGC would really be all over, even in times like this. But what are the types of genres or the types of games that you would actively avoid in a time like this?
Man, I hate to say it, but there's probably going to be a lot of games that aren't lengthy experiences that maybe really we're going to be very apprehensive about spending money on a shorter game.
I just thought of something right now, like a game that I think that a lot of people would avoid, granted, the name aside and stuff, would be Resident Evil 3 Remake, because Resident Evil 3 Remake is kind of short, but granted, that's the Resident Evil brand name.
Right. And fair enough. If it didn't have the Resident Evil brand name, it probably wouldn't have done very well. Because, compare that to Resident Evil 2 Remake, which was pretty much twice as long, but the same price. That's what's going to happen is you're going to have people now making these direct comparisons. Well, wait a minute. Final Fantasy VII Remake is like 40 plus hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Doom Eternal is like 20 to 25 hours just playing single player. I didn't even touch the multiplayer yet, right? And then you look at Resident Evil 3 Remake and you're like, well, this one's only like 7-8 hours and it's $60. And yeah, there's a multiplayer mode, but it really has nothing to do with the core game. Is this something that I want to sink my money into? Now, by the way, I played Resident Evil 3 Remake, and even though I agree with a lot of people that it's not as good as Resident Evil 2 Remake, I do think it's an outstanding game. So it's definitely worth playing. You're going to get quality out of it if you play it.
Yeah.
But if you're really looking for bang for your buck, you're right. I mean, only 8 hours for $60 is a pretty hard sell. So what may happen is one of two things. Either people are going to flock to cheap games, so this may be a time when indie games...
The sales right now on eShop and PSN, that they're making a killer right now. I don't know if you saw the Big Japan sale. Like, there's some big games on there that are, again, for someone like you, great to stream, but for fans, people that just love games and stuff, that are big sale items that people could just pick up for like $10 or less.
Anything that's a cheap price point right now is going to sell, even if it's not necessarily the best game, because people are trying to stretch their wallets. And, I was just about to say, indie games that typically are cheaper are going to end up, getting, I think, a lot more high profile highlighting. And, any mainstream hyped games that may have come out during this time period have to have meaty content, or else you're going to have people who are going to be very apprehensive about buying them. So, it's funny because we talk about Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know how long that game would have been. We don't know if it's even coming out still in May. But if that's a game that after reviewers get their hands on it, they're like, yeah, it's 12 hours long. I don't know if people are really going to be willing to spend their hard-earned money right now when things are tight on a game that's not going to give them a lengthy experience.
You could still have a sweet experience that's short and stuff, but I think now there's a lot of other factors that come into it that are influencing the buying decisions for a lot of people. And again, the big sales coming out now with the eShop, with PSN, with Xbox Live, stuff like Games Pass, and even the bunch of the free games that people are just getting now from these different companies are really changing up like the buying habits of a lot of people, which I think is going to work out in the end. Granted, we're all still in isolation and stuff. One thing I do also want to ask, though, because again, I feel like you would know a little bit about this being streaming like all the time and stuff. What do you feel like, at least in your opinion, you know, is the toughest thing when it comes to streaming at a time like this? Because granted, like you said before, you've already been streaming from home for, you know, for the longest now at this point. But now that things are a little bit changing up and things are a little bit kind of like, you know, shifting in the landscape for streamers and for content creators now during this pandemic, what is the most difficult thing, at least for you right now, to do with your own content?
Oh, it's a good question. I would say there's actually two distinct things that I kind of have to focus on. And the first is understanding that my streams are a place where people are coming to kind of escape the stress of real life. Yeah. I can't make my stream a political soapbox.
That's the thing right now for everybody. Like, everybody's got to deal with that because that's like so rampant.
Right. You know, everyone is all political about what's going on in the world and what should have been done, what can be done. And I don't want that to happen on my stream. I don't want people to start getting all arguing about, you know, the implications of politics. Or, I mean, I'll be honest. Do I ban talk about the coronavirus on my streams? No, I don't. But at the same time, I make it known right before every stream I do. Like, listen, a lot of people are really messed up and stressed out right now. You know, we're in a bad way.
Does it get bad right now, like, with that? Because I know in some streams that I've seen from other creators and stuff, it could get pretty bad. And sometimes they'll use, like, bots and stuff. Or even they'll just let it be because, like, it's so rampant.
The thing is, I definitely don't want to ban discussion. I mean, it's the biggest thing going on in the world right now. You can't ban outright discussion.
You can't ignore it.
Exactly. It's everywhere. But at the same time, that's kind of my point, is it's already everywhere. It's not like there's a single person who's been living in a cave who came out and said, what's this? You know, everyone knows what's happening. So I don't want that my gameplay stream that's supposed to be an escape for people to then become, let's just talk about this all day. And I tell my viewers right up front, I'm okay if you want to talk about it, but understand I'm not going to personally derail my stream talking about it the whole stream. If we want to touch upon it once or twice during the gameplay, great, but please let's not have giant discussions half of my stream about it, because there are people who are just trying to chill out. And if you come to a stream, you start hearing about it, you're going to stress out, right? It's the opposite of what you're going to a gameplay stream for.
So let me ask you this then. Like, have you ever thought about maybe at one point doing something like that? Because, I mean, every once in a while, like, it's good maybe one day or one stream to maybe at least to, you know, have that, or at least I've seen some people at least, you know, engage in that type of stuff. But at least in your case, would you ever think about something like that?
What was that again? Because you actually cut out when you said that.
No, what I said was, is that did you ever think of it maybe at one point maybe having a stream where you do allow that type of talk like that? Or maybe, you
gotcha,
know, maybe not so much like an Ask the King type of video, because I know you put that up on one of your channels and stuff, but like just a stream where you're just like, okay, let's just talk about what's going on right now. Let's just, it'd be that little cathartic experience.
Right. And you know what? What I do is every major stream that I do in the morning, I have a segment before we get to gameplay where we just talk. I actually do this every day to make sure that if we have hot topics or anyone wants to talk about stuff, we can get out of the way. So that way, when I get to gameplay, I still want to interact with my audience. But if there was any burning questions or anything that people wanted to talk about, we could get that out of the way beforehand. And that's really why I do that, so that we can focus on the games. But yeah, I would say Ask the King, which is my Q&A show, it's coming up this week, and incidentally, I get the feeling I'm going to get a lot of questions on that show about, you know, worldwide pandemic and all kinds of stuff there, and that's really why I would try to at least hone in on a topic and give an intelligent answer. Yeah, it's very hard when you're trying to play a game to juggle that with an intelligent answer, especially when there's some people who are hanging out with you all every day. Exactly. Imagine, right now I'm playing Neo 2.
Oh, hell no. I do not wish that on anybody, because I have to write the guide on Neo for IGN, and like, that's tough. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, you die with 1 to 2 hits for most of the game. Yeah, I really want to be now trying to give you an honest, intelligent, and mature answer about something serious when I'm getting slaughtered by these demons every 2 seconds. Exactly. So
that's crazy.
Following along with your question, the other half of the thing here is that during this whole pandemic, even though I've been incredibly lucky to, you know, have this vest streak, as I call it, happen, as silly as it is, I don't want to be constantly be talking about income and money, because I realize I'm one of the luckier people on this planet. I get to work, you know, I get to work from home while a lot of people are out of their jobs.
Right, a lot of people sent home right now.
Exactly. And they can't make any money. So how ridiculously selfish would it be for me to now be talking to people about money and, oh, you better step up
I've
and
seen
contribute.
That. That'd be ridiculous. I've seen that on some streams, and I think it sometimes could be very obnoxious. Like, again, with different types of streamers out there that are doing that so blatantly out in the open. You know, you've seen that a lot in, like, different news sources and stuff. I think that now a little bit of, like, you know, reading the room could go a little bit further with some people like that.
Because, that's right.
Again, everybody right now is just dealing with some shit, and it could be a little bit frustrating for some people.
For me, my philosophy when I stream these days is, you know, I've been around the block. I've seen every aspect of raising funds while you're creating content. And for me, the most successful formula is do your thing, make something that's positive and fun. And as long as other people feel that what you're making is positive and fun, you're going to get that support. It's going to naturally come. Harping on that is not going to help. In fact, a lot of times harping on, oh man, things are slow today, that's going to have the opposite effect. That's going to turn off your viewing audience. And especially during now, during a worldwide pandemic, when a lot of people do not have money, doing that is just so off base from what you should be doing as a content creator.
Definitely. I think that, again, that's very, very true for a lot of people. And I think that a lot of creators tend to forget that sometimes, especially getting caught up in the whole crazy flair of everything and stuff. But Phil, thank you so much for chatting up with me on this episode of Definitive Discussion. You know, it's always a trip because, again, we don't talk as much. Again, we haven't talked in like mad long and stuff. So this is a cool treat for me or whatnot. But you're on the socials, right? Where can everybody find you?
At They Call Me DSP on Twitter. My Twitch account is twitch.tv/DarkSideFill. And on YouTube, youtube.com/DSPGaming.
So definitely go check that stuff out, guys. There'll be links in the description box below. Go send us some owl hugs if you're listening to this episode, because we like sending owl hugs to people just randomly, just because, and stuff for Squirtle Squad emotes and gifts and stuff. Right before, because I know me and you are going to talk a little bit more on EX mode, but right now, what is some other stuff that you're working on right now? Like what games are you streaming at the current moment that are coming up soon?
Ooh, I am juggling currently Final Fantasy VII Remake, Nioh 2, and I just started Banjo-Tooie. I'm doing a lot of what I consider more chill late-night streams, such as Animal Crossing, Minecraft, and Elder Scrolls III Morrowind. So a big variety of stuff. Yes. And coming up, my viewers, again, during another Viewer's Choice event poll, actually said I should play a game that I missed out on last year, because I didn't really know much about the franchise, even though it's one of the biggest franchises that I believe Nintendo has right now, Fire Emblem.
Oh, you never played a Fire Emblem game? Oh, you're going to have so much fun.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting. Fire Emblem Three Houses. Yeah, Fire Emblem Three Houses is the next kind of game on my agenda. And then after that, there's so much else that's been going on. I believe that there's actually a Dragon Ball Z Kakarot DLC that covers Dragon Ball Super that's going to be coming out this coming week. And there's a few odds and ends I've missed out on that I may be playing. But really, as a content creator, as I already said, it's kind of up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen in May, what games will really come out and what won't. So really, it's kind of more play it by ear and see what happens.
I tell you right now, you're going to have a lot of fun with Fire Emblem. You're going to be at that for a while. Let me put it that way. Like, so that's going to be crazy. But again, Phil, thank you so much for chatting with me on this episode. Guys, remember, check out all the different episodes I have up on the channel right now. And don't forget to join up with my Patreon page. Dollar level or higher, you're going to get not only this bonus EX mode that I'm going to do with Phil very soon, but you're going to get all the other EX modes that I've done with all my guests up to this point, as well as a bunch of other great exclusive content that I have on the channel. So definitely check all that stuff out. Leave me a comment down below in the comment section. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you love this episode. But with that being said, we will talk to all of you again very soon. Peace out and stay epic, everybody.